I was just talking about what does the master give. They say, you see, that God made man. Man has got physical body. Man has got intellect. But he's in soul body, conscious entity, the top of the ocean of all consciousness. Now in the worldly way we have been food to the body. We have physically dwelt by having the right sort of food. We have got intellect. We have given so many by thought at the level of intellect. We have learned so many things, invented so many things. All information new about this physical world and other outside things we have got. And that is the bread of the intellect. So we have become intellectually strong. By giving food to the body, we have become physically strong. But we are conscious entities. What food we have given to our soul, to the very outside, our very self. Learning outward information, well, it is only a food for the intellect, not for the soul. Soul, since because it is a conscious entity, is food or bed of life or water of life can only be something conscious. So if we know ourselves first, all masters have been saying from the very beginning, know thyself. How can we know? One is a matter of feeling, the other is a matter of emotion, not drawing inferences. Really, by rising above body consciousness, by self-analysis, when we come to know, practically, we rise above body consciousness, we know ourselves. If we know ourselves, or when we know ourselves, if it comes in contact with all conscious God, you see, then that is the bread of life or the water of life for the soul. As I just told you, all worldly information, all outside sciences, libraries are full of them. If our brain becomes full of them, well, it is no bread to the soul. It is bread and water for the intellect to grow. So the water of life and the bread of life is conscious contact with the God over them. So who can give? It is only such a human bone at which his soul has been devised, you see, analyzed itself from the outward, outgoing faculties, and outward attachments, and known himself by rising over body consciousness, and has become the mouthpiece of God, all consciousness. Such a person alone, human pole alone, at which that God resides in every heart, of course. No heart is without it, because that is the controlling power which keeps the soul in the body. Only at this present state of affairs we do not know, because our soul is under the control of mind and further under the control of outgoing faculties. We are identified with the physical body and outer environment so that we have forgotten ourselves. Unless we know ourselves, how can we know the old self? A master is one. He's a man like us, born the same way, of course. The same body and the outgoing faculties and the intellect he has got. But he has analyzed himself practically by rising above body consciousness, knowing himself and know that he is at his contact with the all over self, where he has become the mouthpiece of God. He has the competency to just withdraw attention from all sides, and also from the outgoing faculties, by raising it above the intellectual level even, those in turn can become conscious contact with the God also. Such a one is God, a saint, truly meaning, in true sense of the word, or a master. Well, masters have been given to distribute this food of life and the water of life to the worldly people. Though the human body is the highest rung in all creation, in this alone we can know ourselves and can contact with God, become conscious in conscious contact with God, which is already residing in our hearts. So the gifts that a master can give, nobody on earth can give it. No son of man can do it. He comes to the world with a commission from God. Master can give no such light things in their own language from time to time. Those who come in contact with them, they really know, see things, what he gives. And they always praise him that the gift that a master can give, nobody on earth can give. What is that power that gives that gift? That's the God in him manifested. You remember some item lady was having a pitcher of water full over her head, was passing by. And Christ asked him, well, for water. She thought of some counter inferiority complex. He thought he belongs to a higher level of life. Why he asked for this? She did not give. Then what did the Christ say? Well, this water which he is carrying can only satisfy our thirst for a while. Again, man feels thirsty. Had she come to me, I would have given him such water of life. For all life long, he would not have thirsted. Again, he said, I am the bread of life. This bread of life has come down from heaven. Whoever partakes of it shall have everlasting life. What is that bread of life? The water of life. That is, God into his special power has two phases. One is light, the other is sound principle. Music of the spheres, music of all harmonies, about all masters who came in the past, whether in one country or the other, they all refer to it. So such life, bread of life and water of life can be given only by such a man who has become world-made flesh. He works at the human pole, of course, but he has got that thing in him. His soul partakes of that bread of life and water of life which is given by world-made flesh. And the result is, on spiritual health depends the life of mind and body both. So such a gift nobody on earth can give it. And only through such a one will become conscious co-worker with the divine plan, the mouthpiece of God, which is residing in every heart, everywhere. There is no place where he is not. So this bread of life is already within us. We cannot partake of it because our attention, which is the outcome of your soul, outward expression of your soul, that is under control of mind, and mind is further under control of outgoing faculties, and outgoing faculties are dragging us to the outside world, to the physical body, the world outside, so much so identified with it that we have forgotten also. So first, with the grace of a master, really, he knows himself by practical self-analysis. He is given some experience for a while, to forget the world outside for a while, just consciousness and open the inner eye, the single eye, to see the light of God, to hear the voice of God. This is what I said, you know. You see things what the old prophet did not see, so long, so far as he is gone. You hear things what the old prophet did not hear. So such a gift is given by a master. Outward knowledge of books, of libraries, of all the things of all the masters who came up to date. Such a one is not a master and is not a really saint in the true sense of the word. Libraries are full with those things. If one brain becomes a library of all those things, you will give only outer knowledge about the thing, what master said. It is just like we know that by taking water, drinking water, your thirst is satisfied for a while. You know that, but you have not got the water of life. Doctors say an apple a day drives the doctor away. You have learned about the actual and gives some tonic to the heart, some to the brain, etc. And if one man has it, he does not need any doctor. That's only the fact you have come to know by using apple. But unfortunately, you have not got the apple to eat so far. You follow me? Whatever we know so far, whatever we do so far, that is only concerning your intellect. You got some information in your brain that might give you some intellectual satisfaction, but not the soul, which is not the breath of life. So master, those who come who appointed the mouthpiece of that God power within them, so he is called the world made flesh. Guru Nanak said, all masters say the same thing, of course, in their own language. The very words, you see, the very water of life, which is source of all happiness, of all virtue, of all peace, tranquility, that is, can be had from a master only, that will give you an everlasting life. It is better to be born in a temple, but to die in a city. Simply attached to the what is casing of the things and not touching the karma within. The result is, you see, clash between class and class. Clash between country and country. So this everlasting life can be had by drinking that water of life which gives an everlasting life through a world made flesh. These are the words they say. So it is better to be born in a temple, but to die in a sin. You have got turning to the spirit. You are spiritually strong. And spiritual health depends the life of mind and body both. This is what master gives. Guru Amar Das was asked, what does the Guru give? What the Master gives? He says, he simply gives in a very poetical way. He says, Kulirium is put into the eyes, Kulirium. That a Master just puts Kulirium into the eyes. And what is the result? He sees light. You see, this is what he says. Unless the soul is withdrawn from outside, and one that rises above body consciousness and the outward faculties, that eye is not open to see the light of God. If thine eye becomes single, thy whole body shall be full of light. Well, this has been the basic teachings of all masters who came in the past so far. There are two sides of it. One is outside, the other the inner side. The basic teachings of all masters who have been coming in the past, that has been, they have been given the bread of life and the water of life. They were the mouthpiece of God. All masters have given you that my father. You have seen me, you know, you have seen the father also. He said, such like statements are made by all of the masters, so. Guru Nanak says, I speak what God makes me to speak. I speak as it comes from above. I'm simply a mouthpiece. Only such a human form that God is manifested, that manifested God in man is called a saint or a true being of master. He gives you such a gift which nobody on earth can give you, no son of man can give you, no intellectual can give you. So this is what the master gave you, human become. These references are made in the books. These are not very explicitly explained there. References are made. But who will interpret the true report of the saint what they said? And who has lived it? It gives you very clear cut in very few words. You now understand what the master is? He thinks. What is it? He's intoxicated with the elixir of life, and whoever comes to him will give one cup to him. All right, have it. This is just giving a cup, just a fruit, giving a fruit to the other body. So competence of the master lies in the fact, not in giving theories or lectures, or explaining what master said, one or the other said, but he is competent to give you first in theory, and then can give you a demonstration of that. You see, that's there the greatness of the master lies. So this is the bread of life and the water of life. What the masters have been given in the past, the formations were made for the purpose to enable most of the people by joining the school to have that bread of life. So long as these such like practical God in men are man in God, a world made flesh, where amongst them they enjoyed that privilege when the formation became devoid of such personality, you say, human powers, that way God was working. These very formations were stagnations, become stagnation, and stagnation results in deterioration. This is what people journey of. What does a master give? Well, an intellect can give you all these statements by word, but can a demonstrate, cannot give you a cup of that elixir to you by giving something, some capital to start with. Many masters, so-called masters, I would say, they come, they got their propaganda, but they give only the theory. It is all right, repeat this passage of mantra, that passage of words, etc. That alone won't do. Our master used to say, what to speak of the five words. Even a little girl who is spinning the wheel, he can give those five words. What is all right? It is a demonstration. The greatness of master lies in the fact who is competent, who is somebody. Capital to start with. By withdrawing their attention from outside, raising them above body consciousness, open the inner eye to see the light of God and share the voice of God, maybe little or more. You see, that depends on the background of each man's background. But he must have something to start with. And who can give that bread of life, water life, is really called a saint. This is what is. Why these masters have been so highly spoken of in all past sacred literatures, whether they belong to one country or the other. So, to meet with such a master is a really grace of God, whom he wants to unite them with his own self. He brings them in contact with such a human power at which he manifests. He gives him a conscious contact of which he owns that I am having something. Now that has to dwell further. You have got something to start with. In the past you will see, when I have been going to the masters, and stayed with them for years and years. When they well, became ready, only then they gave them something. Now the times have changed, you see. Nobody can leave homes, hearts and homes, live with somebody for longer periods, maybe for a month, 2 or 3 months. So they give something to start with at the very moment. Time has changed now. And also ask them to just for self-introspection, beating out all imperfections in their life, and daily putting in time to the meditation or whatever capital they have got to start with, to develop that from day to day by regular devotion of time, as also by beating out all imperfections of their life from day to day. Regular practice and also weeding out all imperfections from outside for which these diaries are prescribed. Naturally, you weed out all imperfections and also you be having something already, some capital started by developing, putting time that way and developing that more and more. You will become, I think, very little time, quite progress in the way. So master job is very, I mean, onerous, but very difficult too. We are overridden with the so many back reactions of the past. The three kinds of karma, you see, one what you do daily, the other as a result of which you got this human body, and the third which are still in store to be sprouted forth. You go, you see. So master has the competence just in us. It is all laden with, you see, some goods. And he is also stuck for beast mirrored in a quagmire, I would say, in the field. How can he come out of that? If anybody has been just takes pity on him, he unburdens the burden lying on his back, and then drags him out of that. Only then it is possible for this man to come out. This is only an example to show that we have got yet of hundreds of births back, some reactions of the past which are still in store, not yet sorted for. So we must have the competency to just unburden that thing for a while, then drag it and give it conscious continuity. That, what you say, the capital, something to start with. To meet with such a master is really a blessing of God, whom he wants to just unite with him. So that is it. That is what a master gives, the bread of life, the water of life, which is with which our soul becomes spiritually strong, and also we have the competence to unburden others, you see, for a while, those are given to mission, maybe 1, 10, 100,000 sometimes. Their soul is withdrawn from outside and raised above our faculties for a while, and they have something to stop. This gives what whoever can give is called a master or a saint, two things of the world. For that very place, if you get fortunate in such a contact with God, God man, or God in man, or man in God, then he is on the way back to God, you see. So master has got something cash to give, not on credit, you see. Here is something, start with it and go on with it. But if you self-introspection, weeding out all imperfections from day to day, and also putting regular time for developing that very thing which you got already. You remember one parable of, in the parable, masters give teachings in two ways, one direct, the other through parables. Once the Christ said, there is a rich man, He gave some talents, 5 talents to one man, 10 to another, and 20 talents to somebody else. After some time he came back and found the man who had got the 20 talents, he had made it 40. The Lord was, landlord was very much pleased, he gave me something more. The other whom he gave 10, he had made 20. And the other one whom he gave 5, he didn't have, he simply kept them. So simply, Master comes and gives something to start with. Those who dwell under his instructions, by regular devotion of time, as prescribed with him, and also by cleaning out all imperfections, they dwell in Master with more. If a child of the Master used to say, he gives something to the child, he fritters away again, he gives some talents, then he kept it up with him. He doesn't give anything to the child who fritters away. So have regular, progress on the ways to remain devoted to the Master, such a Master, whose eyes, inner eyes opened and is competent to open your inner way, inner eyes. And you own it, then you see something, not that you see in due course, not the least. A bird in hand is better than two in the bush. So you are fortunate, though you have got this contact, it remains with you now to develop it by regular devotional time to the spiritual practices and also by guarding against, you see, all imperfections, or weeding out all imperfections which are within us from day to day. The more you have no ripples rising in the tank or the reservoir of mind, the more you will be able to see, reflect your own face in the water. So this is what the Master gives, really. They have been coming from time to time in all countries, in all centuries. You see, he wants all his children to take to back to God too. So ye have your teachers, Master, ye have Guru Dekha. Intellectual army of intellect, you must have some idea. Some of you are just okay. It may be only intellectual satisfaction you get, but you have not got yet the apple to eat, you see, and the water to drink, and the bread to eat. So those who can give you something to start with, really, he can give you more also, anyway. So ye cheez hai jiske liye you come here, aap yahan aate ho. बात को समझो, खाली हाथ लगाने से मुक्ति नहीं होगी, चीज मिली है उसकी कमाई करो, बढ़ाओ, तुमको खुद पता होगा आप कहाँ। You must know yourself where you stand, not wait till after death that you will go. ये है गुरु की तारीफ, लोग पूछते हैं गुरु क्या देता, अरे भाई ये गुरु देता, नाथ भी सौ कारण गुरु दुनिया भरी पड़ी है। जिनको ये चीज मिली है उनको डे टू डे बाकायदा कमाई करनी चाहिए, उनकी पड़ताल करनी चाहिए। अगर वो रस छोड़ेंगे तो नतीजा क्या होगा, कोई कुछ नहीं होगा, उल्टा सत्संग को बदनाम करेगा।
Oh, good morning, everybody. Welcome to the satsang from Master Kirpal Singh. Satsang today is originating from the Lamb Youth Inn in Lake Chunalaska, North Carolina. We've had a Rouhani Satsang retreat here since last Wednesday. We've had about 60 people in total coming to the retreat. The reader this morning is James Leonard. I'll hand it over to James.
Thank you.
You've got two microphones, this and that.
Thank you. Good morning. Welcome to Rouhani Satsang. This morning, the reading will be from Master's talk, and it is called Guru Bhakti. This was the talk first published in the August 75 issue of Satsang Desh. Master begins by saying, anyone can give lectures, stories from the scriptures, outer practices, this and that. Our Hazur used to say, "What is there in giving the five names? Even a little girl at the spinning wheel can do that." He would explain things with great love. In what then is Guru Bhakti? In keeping the word of the Guru. But this we do not want to do. The Guru says that one should introspect one's life. He also says that one should give time for meditation. If a person did not get any food, he would become desperate for it and would feel that he must have it no matter from where it comes. If one gets the bread of the soul and does not eat it, what a shameful thing. What can be said of such a person? The reply from such a person, from such people, is always the same. I did not have the time. Excuse me, but who is it that has got to die? You? Or can someone else do it for you? If the physical body needs food, one will go into torments of hunger. If the intellect is hungry, nights and days are willingly expended to feed it. But for the hungry soul, even if the bread is given, it is not eaten because there is no time. Before you realize that the end will be here, and with deep regret, one leaves the body and goes out of this life. The medicine was given, but it was locked away in a cupboard. How then could illness be cured? He would become learned while living in the world, but will remain learned when he leaves. He who becomes learned while living in the world will remain learned when he leaves. He who is illiterate in life, can he be learned in death? Know that you have met a guru when attachment, fires of the body, and distress all leave. When have you experienced the guru? When attachment leaves, you will then know that you have truly met the guru. When your children die, you cry. When poverty comes into your life, you cry. When there is no praise or respect coming to you, you cry again. If you are in such turmoil, how can it be that you have met the guru? When one rises above the physical form, then one can say that one has met the guru within. Save yourself from the outer fires of the body, of the desires of the world and other worlds. When you are free from all this, you will know that you have met the guru. At present, you have met him physically only. You have not seen him. Excuse me, but actually you have not yet met him. Nanak says, he who has met the Satguru has his written destiny erased. This is indication of the meeting. If a person has met him within, why would he return to this world? He will no longer be the enjoyer, but he will be the one who sees. We do read the books, but we must try to truly understand them, and then make that understanding a part of our lives. See for yourself where you stand. If someone tells you that you are a great devotee, of what value is that? The only result from such things is an increase in the volume of ego, vanity, pride, etc. Do not forget what you really are. There was once a king's minister who was previously only a simple grass cutter, for whom the king had great regard. And he had promoted him in his service. Whenever the minister had a little free time, he would enter a small room, remove all his fine court clothes, and put on a simple loincloth. And placing his old cutting scythe before him, he would cry, "O God, before thee I have no status." Some of the other courtiers, incited by jealousy, would sneeringly remark to the king, "Just see, you respect this man so much, but he is only a grass cutter after all, and he has not forgotten it." But the actions of his favorite minister pleased the king, who told the critics, "It is true what you say. He is only a man who has not forgotten his true self. He is the only man who has not forgotten his true self." If the disciple becomes something better, the credit is the guru's, for it happened by his grace, and the praise should go to him. If the guru were not to give, then, when people come to me, I tell them, "Brothers, up to now, he is giving, but who knows about tomorrow? There is hope, of course. The giver is God. The sender is God." Where does this I-hood enter the matter? Doing a Roth again and again, we incur his pleasure and receive the treasure of his love. In the meaning of a Roth, there is first Ah, which means come, and then Roth, which means to be absorbed. To withdraw the attention and become absorbed in the greater attention, this is the real meaning of a Roth. When the Arath is successful, the guru can see that the soul has withdrawn from everything and has entered the darkness. Then its own greatness unfolds. So as it states in the Gurbani, the first lesson is to obey the guru. Lose yourself in him. And when he starts coming, then forget yourself entirely and absorb yourself in him. A certain Persian prophet says that his heart became so full of God that he knew not if it were himself or him. In this condition, there is no you or I. He also says that when the guru manifests within, the disciple becomes emperor of the three planes. Until he peers within, there is no real development. On the same subject, another master says, "The guru Dev has revealed the true light within, through which all my illusions has gone." When the drop becomes one with the wave, and the wave is absorbed back into the ocean, there you will find the true meaning of a Roth. Nowadays, people merely light some lamps and perform arti by some outer custom. Absorb yourself in the one in whom that light is manifested, and forget yourself in him. When the separate condition of I and you is no longer there, that can be called Guru Bhakti. This is the last feat to be achieved. St. Paul said, "Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me." The disciple sees within his own physical form that the Guru is sitting there. And this is the culmination of Guru Bhakti. They tell us that we must do Guru Bhakti, and then we will get the Naam. To meet the Guru within, that is Naam. That is the ever-present manifestation of Naam. For instance, somewhere there is water, somewhere there is ice, somewhere else steam. If you rub ice, it becomes water. If you rub water, friction occurs and it turns into steam. The same single thing has three phases. That which is seen outwardly, we call him the guru. Like the priest, he folds his hands in greeting. He loves, he gives comfort, and even sheds tears at times. The guru's aim is to take the soul within. But when he works in the various inner planes, that is called Gurudev. Satguru is omnipotent. Different stages, each with its own expression. But understand that he is the God in man, and nothing other than that. In the human pole, God, or he is God, manifesting through man. When the power withdraws, it is as if hundreds of bulbs were all switched off by a single switch. The ever-existent God is everywhere. And when he works through the brain center, then consciousness fully awakes. When that withdraws, the end comes. He functions in us similarly. Do you understand my words? How can these things be unraveled and placed before you when they are related to a practical subject? However, through right understanding, one can get a small glimpse of the facts. But intoxication can only be enjoyed by receiving it. And when does that happen? When the Guru Bhakti starts. Radhaswami says, "Oh, listen, you have received now the boon of bhakti." Swamiji tells us that the Lord himself, sitting in the human pole, says that we have now got the boon of devotion. This is what the God in the Guru says. The question now arises, to whom is this devotion given? Devotion to the Lord will take one to the lap of the Lord. Where is the devotion? It lies within our true self. We have only to change direction, the direction of the surat or attention. Attention is the soul's nectar. Attention is the soul's expression in which he is apparent. Full of the pure nectar of love and the Master's company, the desire is born. The Master, in whom love for the Lord is swelling, surging, keeps his company. The Master, in whom love for the Lord is swelling, surging, keep his company. In that company, this small drop will mingle with the wave and become one with it. And that wave is of the ocean, and so it will go back to the ocean. There is a prayer of Guru Amar Das Ji which says, "Cursed be such a life in which love for God was not achieved." What conclusion did Guru Amar Das reach after more than 70 years of searching? This was his conclusion. That 1,000 curses should be upon the life within, wherein, after receiving the precious human birth, the love of the Lord was not awakened. This love for God can grow in the human life alone and in no other. Doing that work in which God is forgotten, one gets attached elsewhere. All those actions which lead us into the realm of duality and ignorance make us forget the Lord. 1,000 curses on such actions. What are the good actions then? those through which our attention is directed nearer to God. Bad actions lead us further away from Him. You are not asked to leave your hearth and home and go into the jungles and lonely places. All that is necessary is, no matter what work you may do, the needle of your compass should be constantly pointing to the north, to God, so that He is never forgotten. Leaving worldly responsibilities and duties does not mean you have freed yourself. The attachments which result from the worldly life must be severed while living amid the world. Achieving such detachment while living an ordinary life is true renunciation. And when is that achieved? When one gets connected in one direction. The true meaning of renunciation is to be connected with one thing and renounce all else. Nothing more. In which direction should we be connected? In which that which leads us on the right path? And what is the right path? Nam is, the realized soul is, the God Guru is. This is permanent, unchanging. All the rest is perishable and ever-changing. If one gets connected to a realized soul, one's direction will be changed toward God. If one gets connected to the God Guru, one's direction is changed. But also, in the God Guru, God has manifested and radiates. Excuse me. If the drop has some inclination toward the wave, and the wave is in the ocean, then finally it will become that same tranquility. To connect your attention to such a personality will be to your betterment. If the attention remains unconnected, one is still subject to the coming and going of creation. So he tells us quite frankly that if after being given this human life, we do not develop the love for God and continue to perform such actions which lead us into the realm of duality and ignorance and thereby forget Him, then our life deserves 1,000 curses. Serve such a Satguru, O mind, through whom the love of God is born, and all else abandon. One should therefore love the Satguru, for in loving the Satguru, the love for God is automatically developed. The Satguru, the one in whom the love of God is abounding, overflowing with the nectar of love, yearning is born in His company. As you think, so you become. I have already given you two examples. That is, remembrance of one person renders the sin of the world remote. But with a greater remembrance, all else is forgotten. Hence, with the latter type of remembrance, one becomes clean. It is through loving Him that the love for God develops. The love that is such that the whole world is forgotten. And this is the criterion of Guru Bhakti. When love for a single thing becomes so powerful, would not renunciation of all else occur? So remember that a renunciate is not a person who leaves his home and duties to live in the jungles. The true meaning of the word is to have one's attention on a single object to the extent of forgetting all else. And one should focus one's attention on that which is permanent, the true essence that is imperishable, and you will also reach that status. By any other methods, birth and death will continue. We can only consider ourselves safe when we have reached a state above birth and death. It is written that a clergyman, Rum, did not become Mahalani, our master, Rum, until he became the slave of Shamash Tabriz. Similarly, Raja Janak's name is remembered down through history because he found Ashtavatka. Until Arjuna met Lord Krishna, his life was also not so illustrious. The same observation can be made for the life of Swami Vivekananda, who blossomed under the guidance of his guru, Ramakrishna. Brothers, life comes from life. It is very clear. The life of a disciple is his guru. If he is in turn intuned with his guru from within, he becomes his mouthpiece. Then only can he call himself a disciple, otherwise not. Up to now, excuse me, we are but disciples of the mind. Once after giving initiation in Lahore, Baba Sawan Singh Ji said to me, "Brother, I have planted the saplings, but you have to water them." I replied, "Hazur, what is a pipe? Whatever water you send through this pipe, I will give. If there is no water in the water pipes, they become hot, do they not? He who becomes the mouthpiece of the guru can be called a disciple. How can we call ourselves disciples as yet? When one becomes a disciple, he will never hide his guru's name. Remember this. He who conceals his guru is a bad man. Those who intentionally cover up the name of the guru are bad people. Tell me, if one declares that one is the disciple of the guru, then does not one's good reputation increase or decrease? Excuse me. Without a king, there is no respect. Without a guru, there is no salvation. So the real disciple continually exalts the name of his guru, and furthermore, never encourages any attention toward his own name. You will see that all true gurus sing only the praises of their gurus and do not consider the guru as a man, but as God in man. Many people encourage praise to their own name and push the name of their guru aside. Guru Nanak Sahib said, "I have seen the greatness of my guru, and there is no other place." Guru is God on a human pole. A drunkard would choose to sit beside a drunkard, would he not? These manifested God in men. Some come into the world in perfection, and some are made here. And even those who are perfect when they come, whose company do they seek? Those who are drunk with the same intoxication. Just consider how much love Guru Arjan Sahib and Hazur Mir from entirely different castes and religious backgrounds had for each other. Also, why did Guru Arjan collect the words of so many different masters. There was a deep meaning behind it. Man has made separate, narrow, watertight compartments with the attitude, only my belief is good, others are wrong. But the realized souls say, go and go everywhere. Our Hazur used to say, I have got this thing and I am giving it to you. Now go wherever you wish. And if you find anything greater than that which I have given you, then take me there also. We are worshipers of the truth. But those who go into, well, what words can I use to describe it? They say, this is my belief, and this is my belief. Brothers, those who really have something to give will get together. Only takers fight among themselves. How can a giver have any animosity? Guru Arjan prepared this banquet hall of spirituality, the Granth Sahib, and I would say that it has established a world fellowship of religions by collecting the words of the masters in one book, regardless of which religion each master was born into. Those who believe in the words of the gurus, which are found in the scriptures, should have respect for all masters. If they do not, they have obviously not become disciples. It is very simple and clear. Abandon all possessions which were not mine. When the company of the master came, now there is neither enemy nor stranger, for all have become the same to me. Amir Crusoe was strongly criticized for following his guru, his critics protesting that a Muslim should not worship a living man as God. Khusro, in return, retorted that they were his actions and did not have to do with anyone else. He also pointed out that only he knew just what benefit he was receiving. Only a disciple who will know what the guru gives him. Of such things, the worldly people have no awareness. Whenever the masters come, they teach in a practical way. And those who do not realize whenever the masters come, they teach in a practical way. And those who do not realize just what they can give are unhappy. Who are the critics? Those without knowledge. Who is steeped in true devotion? Only those who are drenched in the Lord's color. There is the drop. There is the wave. There is the ocean. If the drop which has become polluted by matter gets contact with the wave, it can become fresh again, because that wave is of the ocean. Going to leave off there today for the reading. And in closing, we just thank you so much, Master, for your commandments, which are so clear and so direct. Thank you once again.
Thank you, James, for the wonderful reading. Excuse me a minute, I'll do a count. So today we had 55 people at the telephone satsang. There's also about 40 people still here at the retreat. So thank you everyone for attending, and thank you, Master, for providing this to us. Now please hang up your phone.